It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, it's our weekly look at Congress with the latest on the race for the Senate and demands from Congress for a more active role in response to the Islamic militant group ISIS.
First, a look at the latest action from that organization and its release of a video showing the beheading of another American journalist. The group calls the video a second message to America to stop airstrikes in Iraq. It shows the beheading of journalist Stephen Sotloff, the second journalist killed by the terrorist group.
Jeremy Suri is with us now to talk about how the U.S. could respond to these messages. He's the Mack Brown Distinguished Chair for Leadership and Global Affairs, History and Public Policy at the University of Texas Austin and the LBJ School of Public Affairs. His latest book is Liberty's Surest Guardian. Jeremy, welcome back.
Thanks, Rob. Nice to be on.
So one journalist, then another in these horrific videos, the threat in the latest video of another victim. Do you expect to see more and more videos like this from ISIS as long as the U.S. is involved there?
I expect that we'll see more of these videos in the coming weeks and months because they're having the effect that ISIS wants. They're drawing attention. They're scaring people. And they're making the foreign powers, including the United States, look somewhat weak and helpless. So I think we'll see more of these.
And there have been calls from some in Congress and elsewhere that the United States should step up efforts in Iraq in response and maybe in Syria against ISIS. What's in our toolkit? What can we do that we haven't been doing already?
Well, there are some things we can do, but we do have to begin, Rob, by recognizing there are limits on what we can do insofar as we don't want to send a large occupation army, and there are good reasons why we don't want to send a large occupation army to the region. And what we are trying to do, of course, is to use air power and allies on the ground to turn the tide against ISIS, to contribute to their defeat on the battlefield and their being forced out of the areas they're occupying. It does seem to me there are a few additional things we could do. We can certainly try to share more intelligence that we have on where members of ISIS are with other groups on the ground. We're often hesitant to share intelligence because we don't know how they're going to use it. And I think we can also probably do a better job of warning Americans to get out and other civilians to get out of these areas. But once Americans and others are captured, there are very limited things we can do, and it's generally not a good strategy to try to go in and just bomb random areas because we don't actually know where the hostages are being held in many cases.
The president has said anything short of boots on the ground, but there's pressure out there for some kind of a response. Is there some way we might find ourselves starting with airstrikes, then more advisors, and kind of backing into a land conflict?
Well, there certainly is a lot of historical precedent for that, Rob, as you know. So that's certainly a possibility. We should also acknowledge that we already have put new boots on the ground. When we send in special operations forces to try to rescue people, or when we send in special operations forces to train fighters on the ground, both of those are things we're doing now. We are actually putting more boots on the ground. So we are doing some of that. I think there's a very strong prohibition in American politics today against a large commitment of American ground troops. So I don't foresee that happening in the next few weeks and months, but I do expect we'll see escalating American efforts from the air with small insertions of force of our own and aiding other groups, particularly Middle Eastern groups that we're working with, including the Iranians, to do some of this for us, especially in Iraq.
Well, the strategy seems to be to provide the air support side of the equation for Kurdish Peshmerga fighters, for the Iraqi army, such as it is. Is that enough to tip the balance for those ground forces already there, already with a stake in defeating ISIS, to help turn the tide on the Iraqi side of the equation?
No, it's certainly not, because if those forces on the ground were adequate to start with, and if they were organized appropriately and had popular support on the ground, you wouldn't see ISIS rising this way. The best way to understand the rise of ISIS is to focus for a second less on the extremism of the group and more on the power vacuum that's been created. What you've had through parts of Iraq and now Syria and parts of Yemen and elsewhere is a collapse of organized political authority, rampant corruption and factionalism, some of which we have contributed to unintentionally. And that's opened up a space similar to what happened with the Taliban after the Soviets withdrew from Afghanistan in the late 1980s. That ISIS is filling, and airstrikes are not going to create order on the ground. They're going to make it harder for ISIS to expand. But if we really want to see the tide turned, there has to be an organized, compelling force on the ground to do this. And it better not be Americans, because that's only going to reinforce the extremism that we're seeing there.
As complicated as things are in Iraq, they're more complicated maybe in Syria. We don't know who we would be bombing ISIS to help, it seems like.
Right. Well, we're in a terrible situation in Syria in that we, for very good reasons, want to see Bashar Assad step down. But the ISIS forces are the ones fighting him in many cases, or they're one of the dominant forces fighting him. So if we take action against ISIS in Syria, which it looks like the president will do, we are helping Assad's case. If we support Assad, then we're helping the person we want, the person who uses chemical weapons, the person we want to see leave power. It's also complicated because the Iranians in Syria are supporters of Assad's. So although we might be working with them in Iraq, it's hard to work with them in Syria. The best option for us in Syria, it seems to me, is to try to find anti-Assad forces that are not necessarily committed to ISIS or might be working with ISIS, but might be willing to pursue a different agenda. But I don't know if such forces really exist.
It seems like the only thing that could defeat ISIS there is if everyone else agreed, okay, ISIS is the common enemy, let's stop fighting each other, let's stop trying to get, you know, our own best advantage out of this situation that ISIS is creating. Is there any chance of something like that happening?
Well, I think, Rob, that's one way ISIS gets defeated, but I think it depends what we mean by defeat. ISIS is not going to be able to govern effectively for the long term. They're a group of different factions that have come together out of convenience at this moment. What's likely to happen if they're not stopped in the short run is that they'll establish short-term authority in multiple areas. They'll continue to do horrific, truly horrific things, and then they'll start fighting among themselves. That shouldn't make us feel comfortable, though, because the worry we have, and this is one of the lessons of Afghanistan, is if they start doing what I just described, they might bring their fighting far beyond their own territory, including our territory. And so that's the concern we have. I'm not concerned about a long-term ISIS empire. What I'm concerned about, and I think what most people in Washington are concerned about, is that ISIS in its internal expansion will in the short run bring horror not only to those on the ground, which is bad enough, but to those far away.
Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That was foreign policy expert Jeremy Suri from the University of Texas, Austin. His latest book is Liberty's Surest Guardian. He's with us to talk about the latest videos released by ISIS and what, if anything, the United States can do in response.